Tonight we're going to be talking about loving our enemies. Loving our enemies. If you've lived life at all, which all of us have, there will be someone that rises up against you and becomes an enemy at some point in life. Maybe you're dealing with someone right now who is attacking you verbally, is maybe trying to damage your name, or is stealing from you. Every time you see this person, he or she strongly attacks you in some way. And we all like friends, right? We all like friends, people we can confide in, people we can spend time with, people that give us words of encouragement and we give them words of encouragement, right? We like friends. But we also have to deal with enemies in this life. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, teaches on how to deal with our enemies in Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. And I'll go through it tonight verse by verse. Matthew 5, verse 43. If you have a Bible, you can read with me. If not, I'll read it to you guys. Matthew 5, 43. And this is what Jesus says. Verse by verse, we're going to go through from the NIV and a little bit from the KJV. You have heard that it was said, love your enemy, love your neighbor, and hate your enemy. Let me say it again. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You know, the love for neighbor is found in the Old Testament in Leviticus 19, verse 18. And the neighbor here in Matthew 5:43 means like a countryman. It means like somebody living nearby. It could also mean a friend, a neighborly person. But the other words in Matthew 5:43, the last few words, hate your enemy, were an addition by the Jewish rabbis, the teachers of the law, who were trying to make the law say something it did not intend to say. So if you go through the Old Testament and read it, you will not find the words hate your enemy in the Old Testament. So Jesus was going to go about to bring correction to this thought of hating your enemy. So in Matthew 5:44, he says this, but I tell you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Have the agape love of God for that person who has risen up against you. Have the agape love of God to love the unlovable. You know, the agape love of God makes a conscious decision to love the unlovable, to respond in a way opposite that your enemy is treating you. Let me say it again. The agape love of God, the unconditional love of God, loves the unlovable. That's why Jesus says, love, but I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Respond in a way opposite to how your enemy is treating you. Is that making sense here tonight? So then Jesus goes on to give a few practical ways on how to love your enemies. He gives a few practical ways on how to respond to the enemy's behavior in Matthew 5:44. So from the KJV, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. You know, if somebody that you're around is cussing four-letter words at you, is cussing you up and down and all around, and is talking down on you every time you see that person, you know, the world would say to respond in what way? The world would say to retaliate. The world would say to cuss back at that enemy, but not Jesus. Jesus says, love your enemies. Jesus said that when they curse you, the agape love of God in you should respond with kind and mild words. So if there's that person in your life that is cussing at you, four-letter words, every time you see him, every time you see her, he's cussing at you, up and down, talking down on you. How do you respond with the love of God? How do you love that enemy? You can say to them, you know what? God loves you. Jesus died for your sins. I'm praying for you. That's loving your enemy. And it's hard to do in our natural flesh because the first natural human reaction to somebody who is insulting you and cussing at you is to want to get even, right? But the kingdom of God is of a much higher standard. The kingdom of God says, love those that despitefully use you. Bless those that curse you. Is that making sense here tonight? Next, Jesus says, do good to them that hate you. Do good to them that hate you. You know, for instance, this is just a hypothetical. If somebody or someone in your life has a malicious agenda and is trying to break you up with somebody else, is trying to break up a relationship of yours, you know, sometimes the first human reaction would want to be, you know what, I want to get even with this person. But how does God's love for the enemy respond? How does God's love for this kind of enemy respond? If somebody has got a bad agenda and is trying to break you up with somebody else, they're trying to put a division there, what could you do? You could pray for that person and say, God, you know what? I pray that this person is reconciled back to you by faith in Jesus Christ. That person's trying to break you up and you're trying to reconcile them to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Is that making sense here tonight? The love of God responds in the opposite way that your enemy is treating you. I hope that that's making sense here to you. Tonight. So maybe this person who's doing you wrong, this person who hates you very much, maybe out there on a street needing food or needing drink, and you see that person, and that person has cussed you, and you know that person hates you. What does love for enemy do? It reaches out to that person with the agape love of God, and you bring that person some food if you're able to retain some food. You bring that person some drink. You bring that person clothing if you have extra clothing. This is love for your enemy. And it's tough to do in our own natural human strength. Our flesh wants to just get even and retaliate. Would you agree here tonight? We can't do it on our own. You've got to cry out and say, God, it's hard for me to love my enemy. I can't do it in my own human flesh. God, I pray that you give me your grace, your strength, and your empowerment for me to reach out and love this person who is hating me. And God, by the Holy Spirit, will give you his empowerment and his grace and his strength to agape love that person who has risen up against you. Is that good news here tonight? You know, loving a neighbor could be easy, but loving a neighbor could be easy, but loving an enemy is really hard. And when you can love your enemy, that's the mark of a true Christian. That is the sign of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And then he says, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The last part of Matthew 5:44. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. If somebody falsely accuses you or slanders you or injures you or tries to ruin your name, pray for that person. Pray that God would open their eyes, that he would be gracious to them. Amen? That person would be reconciled back to God. That person is deceitfully using you. That person is persecuting you. But how do you respond? You're praying to God. God, I just pray that you open this person's eyes. God, I just pray that you're gracious to this person. God, I just pray that this person comes into relationship with you. You see, you're responding in the opposite way that your enemy is treating you. This is the agape love of God. And Jesus practiced what he preached. Wouldn't you agree? He practiced what he preached. When he was arrested, he said he could have had at his disposal by Father God 12 legions of angels to take care of his enemies, but he did not. Matthew 26, verse 53. When Jesus was being brutally crucified on that cross over 2,000 years ago. He did not call down angels to take care of his enemies, did he? How did he deal with his enemies? When he was being crucified on that cross on Calvary's Hill over 2,000 years ago, he prayed to God. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Luke 23, verse 34. He prayed for those who were persecuting him. Jesus practiced what he preached. How many here tonight claim and know that you follow Jesus Christ? How many here follow Jesus Christ? If you follow Jesus Christ, you're to operate in the same way. You're to live in the same way. You're to love your enemies. Father, forgive him. Father, forgive her. Please, Father, this person is attacking me. This person is trying to injure me. This person has stolen my inheritance. But God, I pray that you open this person's eyes. God, I pray that you're gracious to this person. I pray that their eyes are open to the wrong that they have done and that they repent and they turn to you. Is that good news here tonight? And then in verse 45 of Matthew chapter 5, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. What does this mean? If you love your enemies, if you love your enemies, you are showing yourselves to be children of Father God. You are resembling him. You are imitating God when you are loving your enemies. You are showing yourself to be a child of God when you love the person who has risen up against you. When you do good to the person who hates you. When you bless the person who is cursing you. You are showing yourself to be a child of God. You are resembling Father God. It's showing others that your life is surrendered to God. That you have submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life when you are loving that enemy. Amen? And how does God love? If we're to resemble God in this aspect of love, how does God love? God loves immensely. He loves immensely. He says here that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. He sends the sun and the rain to the just and to the unjust. Right? So in other words, God loves all. He loves the just and he loves the unjust. God's love, remember this tonight, God's love is no respecter of persons. The love of God is no respecter of persons. God loves the righteous and the unrighteous. He loves the whole entire world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. It doesn't say that for God so loved some of the people in the world. It says for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How does God love? God loves all. God loves immensely. God is not wanting any to perish in hell, but that all would come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. God is not willing that any would perish in hell, but that all would come to repentance. So if you're going to resemble God in this area of love, you've got to love, yes, the neighbor, but you've also got to love the enemy who has risen up in your life. And like I said earlier, it's tough in our own natural human flesh to love that person that is attacking us, that is insulting you, that is cussing at you, that is hating you. It's hard to love that person. But God will give you his divine strength, his supernatural empowerment, his divine ability by the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to love the unlovable and to love that enemy who has risen up in your life. Loving your enemy, remember this, is the sign of a true Christian. It's the mark of a true follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, when your first natural inclination, when somebody does you wrong or is attacking you left and right, if your first natural inclination is revenge or retaliation, say, you know, oh my goodness, God, I'm weak in this area. I can't do it. My flesh says, get revenge, but God, I want to love that enemy the way you love them. And he'll give you his strength. You got to be in the Word of God as well. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis, not just at Easter and Christmas. You've got to be in the Word of God every single day. You may not have a whole lot of time in a day to read the Word, and you might, but you might read five or six scriptures the first day, and the next week raise it to one chapter, and then after a few months, start reading two chapters out of the Word of God. But it's the washing of the water of the Word. As you get into the Word of God and you learn about the heart of God, the love that God has for all people, that love of God will start being developed on the inside of you so that you will love neighbor, but you will also love the enemy who is accusing you, attacking you, and hating you. Amen? Because how does God love? God loves all. He loves immensely. For God so loved the world. For God so loved everyone in this world. 46, verse 46 of Matthew 5. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? The tax collectors at that time were very disliked people. He says, if you love, Jesus says, those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? In other words, Jesus was saying, if you just love those that love you, that's an imperfect love. That's an imperfect love. It's like, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. That's an imperfect type of love. If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than the others? Do not even the pagans do that. If you salute and greet only your brothers, if you salute and greet only the ones that greet and salute you, aren't the pagans doing that? That's an imperfect form of love. And so what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48 is the love of God, the perfect love of God that loves all people. And you know, loving your enemy requires forgiveness. Forgiveness in what sense? Forgiveness in releasing yourself of having to get revenge on that enemy. Remember this, vengeance is God's. God will repay. Amen? Amen? So finally he says this, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. Loving only friends, loving only neighborly people is an imperfect love. But loving friends as well as enemies is loving more perfectly, more completely. It's loving like God loves. Amen? Amen? This is true Christianity. A person who can love neighbor or a neighborly person or a friend as well as the enemy, the one who has risen up against you, him, or her. Amen? Is that making sense here tonight? I'm going to read you one final sermon illustration to close it off this evening. It's called Teach Me to Love, and it comes from the Preacher's Sourcebook of Creative Sermon Illustrations. It wasn't easy for Corrie ten Boom to forgive the Nazi captors who had tormented her at Ravensbrück. They had caused her to suffer horribly. Even worse, they had caused the death of her sister, Betsy. 10 years after her release, Corrie ran into a lady who wouldn't look her in the eyes. Asking about her, Corrie was told the woman had been a nurse at a concentration camp. Suddenly, the memories flashed back. Corrie recalled taking Betsy to the infirmary to see this woman. Betsy's feet were paralyzed and she was dying. The nurse had been cruel and sharp tongued. Corrie's hatred now returned with vengeance. Her rage so boiled that she knew of but one thing to do. Forgive me, she cried out to the Lord. Forgive my hatred, O Lord. Teach me to love my enemies. The blood of Jesus Christ seemed to suddenly cool her embittered heart, and Corey felt the rage of being displaced with a divine love she could not explain. She began praying for the woman, and one day shortly afterwards, she called the hospital where the nurse worked and invited the woman to a meeting at which she was speaking. "What?" replied the nurse. "Do you want me to come?" "Yes, that is why I called you." "Then I'll come." That evening, the nurse listened carefully to Corey's talk. And afterward, Corey sat down with her, opened the Bible, and explained 1 John 4:9. "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." The woman seemed to thirst for Corey's quiet, confident words about God's love for us, his enemies. And that night, a former captive led her former captor to a decision that made the angels sing. God had taken Corey's subconscious feelings of hatred, she later explained, and transformed them, using them as a window through which his light could shine into a darkened heart. Isn't that awesome? Not awesome? She had to pray to God for strength to forgive this person, to love her enemy. And you do the same when it's hard to love that person who has risen up against you, who is attacking you, who is insulting you, who hates you, who has stolen from you. Say, "God, I can't do this on my own." And God will give you his divine grace and empowerment to love that enemy.